Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, LifeLock. Where you been my whole life? Security researchers found out that an unprotected, publicly accessible database with 150 gigabytes of marketing data, including 763 million addresses, was ripped off. You don't want that. You don't want your info out there. And it contained a lot of employee info and revenue figures from various companies. It's all digital. It's all out there. And there are a bunch of hackers trying to get into everyone's business. Let's not fall prey to that. In today's world, your personal info is everywhere. So many ways cyber criminals can take advantage of what's yours. That's why there's LifeLock. Its identity theft protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect you against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It is the best. It's LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one prevents all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton is powerful protection for your identity and devices for tax season and beyond. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Here at Podcast One, we'd like to thank you for listening to the show, and we'd like to ask a small favor of you. It'd only take a few minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you something in return. So you see how that works? We need you to complete a short survey because the information you give us can help us make things better every day. Just go to podcastone.study, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 125 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to restaurants.com. Then one person will be selected at random to get a $100 Amazon gift card. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. So please go to podcastone.study and thank you for listening.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Mark Garagus. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of blah, blah, blah. And now, child that was left behind, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, man. Have to get it on. Nope. Choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian. I'm a hard-edged puss. Hopefully, Garagus will come in here a little later on in the show today and shed some light on some things that are pertinent in the news as it pertains to him. I want to thank ButcherBox.com, enter Adam, for this half of the show, and MedMen.com, Castrol Edge as well, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. I got some baseball news that makes me mad. I had Max Zapata. This is a to-do list for you. I got the paper in front of me, Max Zapata, so I'm fine. To-do list for you and our never-ending guy who looks too much like the other guy in the same commercial, or chick who looks like her doppelganger, and then you have to wonder, is this a version of them, or is this who they aspire to be, or is this their evil twin? And I'll give you some homework, Max Pata, because I found my note card here and I didn't give it to you, and I'll go on some other subjects and buy you some time. But there's like a Chevy plug-in electric commercial where a guy's putting around in his electric plug-in Chevy Volt or Bolt, which will go down with the Fiesta and the Ford Festiva one day in the annals of moronicy. But I've seen the commercial 10 times. I started looking at it, and the one guy just looks like a loser version of the other guy. They pick guys that are the same age, and they both have mustaches, and one guy hadn't shaved, and one guy's a disheveled version of the other guy. But they look very much alike, and in a world where we oftentimes just have the black guy and the white guy, this is a good time to do that, or the smart chick and the dumb dude. Right. You know, why not put the smart chick there?
When's Christy coming in?
You can look for that.
Shed some
Max Zapata. Also, a wild turn, which is World War II.
My favorite Moronicy song.
Moranesi.
He rocked the Avalon.
Also, something to look for. I don't know, look. You know, people use a computer and they argue all the time, or they look at backyard porn or something like that. It's all good. But I'll tell you what the computer's really good for. You're sitting around, you're having a drink, it's late night, you're watching World War II in color, and you see the Yonkers or whatever it was called, Junkers dive bombers, and the German dive bombers had a siren on them. And you'd kind of think, well, geez, what do you want to advertise your bombing people for? Because the whole deal is sneak up on them. But they had a siren, and they dropped. They didn't go by and bomb like sort of horizontally. They went into full plunge dive. Like in the 40s, those guys were flying those planes, just rolled it over, and they just went straight toward the ground. And they went straight toward the ground, and they fired a siren up. And the siren would just terrorize everybody. And then they just dropped their bombs and peeled off. And I said, huh. And I started thinking about the siren. Like, did the siren, was it the air whistling through something? Right. Or did they fire activated? Up like an electric siren on the front, or hydraulic siren? And so Max Pata can look into that. But
is it like a deer in the headlights thing, just to create more confusion and terror in that moment?
The Germans were very much into a sort of psychological terror as well. I know, you can't imagine Hitler.
Weird.
That there, his ilk. And he was into the Blitzkrieg, which was fast. Like Blitz is just Blitz the quarterback, Blitz the Polish kids, you know, just Blitz. They were in a lightning.
Sure.
He was in the run and shoot offense before it was popular.
Yeah, they were in a lightning war. And their thing was, in the old days, like, you know, move 100 yards, dig a trench. You know, move 100 yards, dig a trench. Now it's all panzer divisions and dive bombers, and everyone's coming fast, you know. And I think part of that was just to freak everyone out. Like, you know, I guess in the past, in old-timey days, you'd go, where is the enemy? And you'd go, well, they're a country and a half over. And you'd go, all right, well, it'll be several months before they get here.
We'll sit tight.
Now you've got several hours before they get there, because the plane's flying 400 miles an hour and they're bombing you this afternoon. And I think there was that.
This is all leading to what the computer's good for?
What the computer's good for is I was looking that up, and then I saw the all-time winningest ace of who flew those Yonkers or whatever they were, the dive bombers. They weren't the Messerschmitts. They were the ones with the fixed landing gear. And that guy, who was like the ace of that era of those planes and that day, committed suicide while he was on the phone with his girlfriend in 1941. So here he was.
What, he didn't even see World War II? I mean, I guess he saw the European theater.
Yeah, he saw the first half of it. Yeah, he did all his dive, got a lot of his dive bombing out of his system. Must have been pretty distraught, wanting to send a message to the old lady, because he was on the phone with her and put a gun under his chin.
Yeah.
And I just thought, it's so weird. All the stories in life are crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, here's a guy. At that time, Germans are rolling over everybody. So at that point, 1941, it looks like Germany's going to take over the world. He's
the angel of death.
He's the angel of death. Like, he is the guy who's the most decorated pilot in of that era on those and in the planes that are dominating the skies. And obviously, he's got some bad shit going on with his lady friend. And so he kills himself while talking to her on the phone.
We should see if that woman's still alive. Buy her a lager.
Yeah, or send her some Tommy John's or something. I'll let you look up that plane, siren, dive bomber, World War II, not Messerschmitt, fixed landing gear, sirens. And then it'll say, when you wiki that plane, it'll say, here's the guy who was the ace.
Wow.
And then he shot himself in the head while he was talking to his gal.
And there were so many more efficient ways for him to do it. Seeing as how he was a dive bomber.
I'm vindictive, but I shoot myself in the calf, and I keep going, hey, bitch, you see what you made me do?
Your fault.
You shoot yourself in the head.
Scheiße.
End of conversation.
Right.
Also, I forgot why I hate baseball. I came home from doing comedy in San Francisco at Cobb's. I came home on back to the hotel at 12:45 at night. Turned on ESPN. Hey, can we do this? I don't know. I feel like we need a rhyme and a reason for hotel TV stations. Like, first off, local news. Scrub it. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested.
I don't care what's going on here.
Right.
I mean, not interested in what's going on here. Right. Be here for another 9 hours. I'm in a hotel. Number two, I don't need all the HGTVs. I mean, I like that stuff, but can we do an order of appearance? Like ESPN should just be at the top because when you're on the road and you're traveling, and again, maybe slightly higher males, doing the, road work, business, whatever. You want to come home back to your room. You want to flop down on your bed. You want to hit the thing. You just want ESPN to be on there because there'll be something. There'll be some movement. There'll be some NBA finals. There'll be some home run competitions or derbies, whatever that is. I don't want to have to scrub down through 39 channels to find ESPN.
Or watch the scrolling guide that goes at a snail's pace. Like, it's not channel 68. It's not channel 69. It's not channel 70.
Yeah, just in the hotel, front load.
Default station.
Default. Get rid of all the local stuff, number one. Get the ESPN on there, top and center, and then you can do your sci-fi, your history, your CNN. Put Fox under it. Just give your top five because you're when you're in the hotel, you're not looking for triples and home runs. Like you're looking for stand-up doubles and legging out singles. Yeah. Like I'll just watch CNN or I'll just watch. I won't thrash around looking for my favorite program.
You just want a floor. Just a floor.
I want a nice base going in there. Yeah. But I turned on ESPN after 20 minutes of scrolling down, and it had announced that the Cubs were playing the D-backs, and going in, pivotal game 19, going in of a 162-game season, going in, the Cubs were 9-9, and the D-backs were 10-10. And then after the game, of course, the Cubs were 9-10, and the D-backs were 11-10, and I thought, this is why we don't need to watch.
Well, I'll look back as the day that's when the season turned.
Yes, we do not need to watch this. Also, yes, go ahead.
But isn't there something, is there a better nap in the world than baseball gently boring you to sleep on a couch?
How dare you?
Seriously, it's so gentle, it's so boring in the background.
Golf is the answer.
Golf makes me angry, though.
Golf makes you angry?
There's something so lovely about drifting off to sleep with a boring baseball game on. I love it.
There's also, I never fall asleep in front of the TV set. There's also, somebody tweeted me, I think it was Lynch, sent me an email, but I clicked on it. I think I favorite tweeted it. Something else, more homework for Max Zapata. But it's a press conference, I think, where Kamala Harris was explaining that AI was racist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because...
Allen Iverson?
Yeah, the answer.
The answer.
Because the people who program it are racist. I was trying to drill down. Like, I was trying to go, like, well, the Roomba wouldn't be racist, but what if the guy, the white male, who was, like, programming, like, maybe... he used the word ask instead of axe or something. There could be some cultural bias thing there. Yeah. I was looking. I mean, I assume she's nuts and finding racism everywhere. It also makes sense that in a world where robots and computers are taking over everything and you basically have built a campaign and a platform on racism, it's kind of hard to call the robots racist. But... thinking ahead a few steps in the future, you're kind of going to have to do that. So I'll let...
I'm going to need some examples. Max, that sounds insane.
I'm intrigued.
Well, she was saying the guys who... So here's what you have to believe. You have to believe, which I don't. This is much like my fire department should reflect the community. You have to suggest that white firemen wouldn't do as good a job... rescuing a black family. That you have to kind of, it's at least implied.
Yeah, you have to buy into that.
Or that the black family whose house was on fire was not comfortable with the white fireman coming into the home at 4 a.m. Yeah, and I haven't signed off on either one of those notions, but you have to, that's a jumping off point, and you have to assume that there's white privilege and bias. And so even if this guy's 24-year-old hacky sack player from Silicon Valley who's doing the programming, he's still white,
right?
And his biases are going to come through his attempting to program this. I guess that's the notion. I can't think of what else. It is kind of an insane statement, but it's also funny, which is, oh, she's trying to get out ahead of this when people go, well, how could the robots be racist? She's like, oh, take a look back to 2019. I predicted it. Anyway, I'll tell you guys about MedMen, and then I'll find this commercial. MaxPad, did you look at that Chevy commercial?
Yeah, we have it.
Does it? I've seen it four times. No, I've seen it 25 times, and I never thought it was the same dude, but I looked at it the other night, and I was like, is it?
You'll see. It's very, very similar. Like, they're the same guy.
But are they?
No, they're not, but it's very weird how similar they look.
There's a bald. Yeah. You're married to someone smart.
That's right.
The proliferation.
My best quality.
Yeah. What? Why would you do this? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know the part. We've all gone through the credit card one, but I'm just saying, if it has nothing to do, or it's not an inside joke or whatever, in a world where you just have a bunch of dumb dudes and a bunch of smart chicks, then put the smart chick in the plug-in electric.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of dumb white dudes and a bunch of smart black dudes and put them in the plug-in. Pick something wildly different so that we don't have to go, is he aspiring? Is that his better self?
Back to the Wendy's example we saw before. It's like, is she like envisioning herself doing that? Or no, they're technically different people.
I think that was a McDonald's commercial where the chick.
She looked like Wendy's.
Now we're getting two Wendy's chicks that look the same for McDonald's. Like, I don't know. Is there anyone who can raise their hand at that casting session and go, hey, boss, I don't think it's a good idea to have two bright red-haired women who are actually 31 and a half representing one another. I think we should get a woman of color in the car, have a little diversity.
I just had this conversation with Christy. I wish I could remember the specific example because it would make the story better. But I said to her, you need it. We're talking about one of these confusing commercials. And I'm like, your next job, please pitch a VP of common sense. Just someone to come in after it's been pitched, after it's been whatever, and some to sit down, like, you know, your replay gimp. Just sit down, like, no background. Like, that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Just have the VP of common sense come in and be like, sorry, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
I know what you're going for. It doesn't make sense.
We'll call it from the mouth of babes. And because when you're in, and I've been in these things, not the TV commercial end of it, but the TV making end of it, and super douchey producer number one and his koozie sidekick go, I like it. No one ever wants to raise their hand.
Right.
I mean, I got yelled at because when I did my sitcom, Ashton, the kid we cast as my stepson, was bigger and looked older than, what's her name? Pam Adlon. And Pam Adlon is a young-looking 40 and diminutive, and Ashton was an old-looking 19 and big, and the studio signed off on it, and they were going to leave the room, and I just raised my hand, and I went, you know, I like this kid, but and I'm glad you guys signed off on him, but he looks like he might not be her son.
No.
Like, he may look a little too old to be her son, and a little too big, and a little too whatever, and then they left, and Lloyd and Gail yelled at me, shut up. You never say anything. They signed off. They signed off. You shut up. And I'm like, well, but that's what it seemed like. And they went, shut up. You never say anything after. And then we shot it. And then all the feedback we got was, he looked too old.
Huh.
Thanks, assholes.
See this coming.
Yeah. It's a weird world. So there is that element. So everyone in that room is scared shitless of those two, right?
You need
so
that
no one's
going
to raise their hand.
You need the fresh eyes.
And you need someone who's tenured so they won't get fired.
It's not just fresh eyes. It's fresh eyes with this unbridled ability to speak. I'm going to picture my sitcom. You can get rid of it. So that person needs to come in and not tenure, no job at all.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping off bagels.
Okay.
And just go, that lady looks like the other lady. Are they supposed to be the same lady?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can move forward. Because when you get in those rooms, once the head honcho speaks, There is one or two people who can speak. There's 30 people in a room at a sitcom, and the other 28 don't say shit and will not say shit and will never say shit. That was always part of the whole process that was vexing to me, is you'd roll into the NBC, the studio, and it'd just be lines of super unfunny guys and gals who are just sitting there. And at some point, one person would talk and other people would never talk. They would never chime in. They've never raised their hand, never do anything. And I would always say to Hench, what are they here for? Right. Like, they're not getting not involved adding, with it at all. But that's how it goes. They're scared. And they would never disagree with whoever the boss man was when they weighed in. So that must be happening. You think it's the same guy?
Yeah, because I'm on iSpot now, and it lists all the actors in the commercial, and it's just one actor and one actress. So I'm guessing that it is the same guy. They just made him look a lot different.
Okay. I was still confused when I saw it. First, let me tell you about MedMen. Ah, history. It's being made as we speak. The new normal is here. Have you seen it? Finally, the moment when a product that once drove good people to the black market has been revealed. This will be one, creating a new global market. What inspired the symbol of counterculture in the past is now just culture. The new normal. It's arrived. It's coming to a city near you and a neighborhood near you and possibly inside your living room. Would you like to see it? Well, it's brought to life by a short film that runs only 120 seconds, just 2 minutes long. The new normal seeks to leave behind 80 years of unjust prohibition in favor of a safer, happier world. You can see this really, really well-executed short. Spike Jones made it. You see the video at the new normal at MedMen.com. That is MedMen.com. All right. Sorry, Chevy commercial.
It's actually a Volkswagen commercial. That their Chevy's in. It's really just an overall electric vehicle commercial paid for by Volkswagen.
Oh, I thought he was driving a
Chevy Volt. He's driving a Volt, but it's still a Volkswagen commercial.
Wow.
Okay.
That's weird. The happy guy's in a Chevy Volt. All right, sorry. Guy's got his orange car. He's driving around. He's got his dog. He's got the Flintstones. Driving a Subaru something. Pulls up next to.
I was making the Jetson sound.
Yeah. They look very similar, but it's fast back and forth.
Instant
and
acceleration.
It's not
cars
obvious.
Are fun to drive.
No, now they got this.
Electric cars are here. Plug in to the present.
Maybe it's his boy Elroy. Maybe it's supposed to be his son in the future. Supposed to be his future son?
They did that on purpose. Yeah. The guy is clean shaven with the mustache. The other guy has the mustache, but he's got the 5 or 6 day growth. He's the sloppy one driving the gas engine. This guy cleaned himself up, and he's driving the electric vehicle.
Yeah, my first instinct is
he cleaned himself
guy.
Up.
He's Barney Rubble.
He's the
or
better
Fred Flintstone, and the other guy is supposed to be George Jetson.
Yeah, one guy's a better version of the other guy.
Yeah.
But,
same guy.
But that wouldn't happen.
Not the same guy, but it's supposed to be.
Oh, I think it is.
Wait a minute. This is why Dawson always has to weigh in on this one. Because Fred Flintstone and George Jetson are different fellas.
Okay, so let's say different actors. Is that what you're saying? Because I think they're the same actor playing the same guy.
No, I'm back. I'm on Dawson's wavelength, which is not on Dawson's wavelength. I'm trying to unpack Dawson's thing, which is if one guy's George Jetson and the other guy's Fred Flintstone, those would be two different looking dudes.
No, but I don't know if it's the same actor. We'd have to look very, very close. It very well may be. What they're saying is it's two representations of the same guy. This guy.
Well, you would use the same actor then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'd be smart too.
Yeah. And it is his future self.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, more evolved self.
His better self.
I'm looking at it now, Caitlin. We'll put a picture up. They do look very similar, but I'm going to go ahead and say they're different guys.
That's the same dude.
That's the same guy.
Look, hair's just comb, same eyes, same eye color. Yeah, that's the same dude.
Wait, weird.
Can you get a picture?
It's weird.
Hold on.
Either way, it doesn't matter to my point, it's supposed to be
Chris.
What they're trying to get you to think is that this is the same guy, just a better version.
I think what guys who make commercials don't understand is
sideburns are the same.
They live with it. they live with it and they see it over and over and over again and they see it in slow motion. Yeah, and you see it in a blink of an eye.
They've seen 90-second versions. They've seen 120-minute versions, like for online. You know what I mean? Like, they're just so familiar with it. Can't see the forest for the trees.
I like it. I liken it to billboards you'll see from the side of the freeway for a new movie coming out, and you go past it and you can't see that it's this, you can't make out the movie title, but the people who designed it know it very well because they're there.
Right.
That's very obviously the same actor.
I think
Chris, see if you can get them both smiling, because the one dude, the clean shaven dude, has kind of distinctive teeth. His teeth are a little jacked.
We got it. But it's the same dude.
What an insane
I'm just
face
saying
that we're staring at two of the same guy and we can't tell if it's the
I'm
same guy.
I'm just saying, I can tell. I stared at the commercial 20 times before I realized I think it's the same dude.
Tobey Maguire-ish.
We need to fix that. All right. Tesla's got a leaf blower, or at least is coming out with an electric leaf blower. I don't think people fully get my... Do you have Ernst Undet, the German pilot?
Yeah, that's...
What's he flying? What is that thing?
Let me see. I was looking at more of his death. Let me see what his plane is.
Ernst, decorated. Highly decorated.
All right. Well, tell me what he flew and tell me what his death was. Well, you just put in the siren German dive bomber. It'll come up. It's something you can't pronounce, but it'll come up. All right. Well, tell me about his death then. Or I can talk to another pilot flies F-18s who's on line one.
Well, yeah, you're right. He commits suicide by shooting himself in the head while on the phone with his girlfriend. His suicide was concealed from the public, and at the funeral, he was lauded as a hero who had died in a flight while testing a new weapon. And what's weird is a few other pilots went to go to his funeral, and they died in plane crashes.
Jesus.
On the way to the funeral.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's kind of a weird story.
That's a very weird story.
Yeah. So, obviously, find out what he was flying, Max Pata. Hurry. And find out, why he was awarded the whatever Flying Cross, Ace, whatever it is. So this guy was flying at Yonkers or something. I'm trying to think what it's called.
Fokker?
Oh, yeah, it was a Fokker. That's right. What is it? Is there a designation?
Fokker F-40.
And it's a fixed...
Farman, sorry.
Yeah, it's a fixed gear dive bomber. Anyway, this guy was an ace. He killed himself, so what are the propaganda machine going to do? You can't have kill himself. You haven't, and he's a pilot, and there's no internet or anything or smartphone, so you just go, he died in a top secret training, whatever, and who wouldn't buy that, right?
Sure.
And then you have a big state funeral for him, and his other guys in a squadron who are flying to go to the funeral die on the way to the...
Oof.
It's a bad Luftwaffe day for the crowd.
It's a closed casket.
All right. Tom, 38, San Diego.
Yeah. Hey, Ace. Hey, Bald. Hey, Gina. How are you?
Yeah. Hey. You fly F-18s?
I do, and it's not quite great magnet, but I did just move back to the States from Germany about a month ago. So,
well, it's kind of weird. We were just talking about pilots and German pilots, and here you are.
Very weird. Very strange, yeah.
And the F-18, is that a Super Hornet or is that another one?
There's two variants. There's what we call the Legacy Hornet, which is the older one, and now the newer one, which is really the only thing the Navy flies, the F-18 Super Hornet.
Oh,
and
okay.
I flew the old one, and most recently I flew the new one, the Echo specifically, single seat.
What could be better than doing that for a living? I mean,
pulling balls on stage with Adam Carolla.
Well done.
I like the cut of your jib.
That's not a living trick
or
question.
Possibly living through 10 years of prognosis negative cancer. So
now
congrats.
Now you're talking.
What's the top speed of that F-18 Super Hornet of yours?
Yeah, you know, you talk about the Hornet kind of frequently. You also talk about Stuttgart fairly frequently, which I just moved back from. I lived 1,000 meters from the Porsche Museum. But
they build the Porsches.
You mentioned the top speed a lot. I can tell you the top speed is not really the name of the game. I think Wikipedia has it listed at like 1,100 miles per hour or something, but we're more concerned about how fast you can go at altitude, which is more of a factor of Mach number. So.
Well,
it's not a particularly fast jet as jets go.
Wait a minute. Don't undersell the Super Hornet. 1,100 miles an hour is faster than most fighter jets.
Sure. You'll never see that speed realistically. I think the fastest I ever got it up to is like 1.42 Mach or something near there. But that's in a slicked off jet diving for speed. You're not going to hit those speeds,
not level
with combat loads or yeah.
Yeah. And so that's almost 1,000 miles, about 1,000, almost 1,000 miles an hour. You're Mach 1.4 or something, right? Yeah. You let the sonic boom go?
Yeah, I let the sonic boom go. That's what all the pros say. Yeah, it doesn't do anything. You don't feel it. It's insignificant other than the number goes.
It's all behind you. But it's had to be weird for Chuck Yeager to experience that sonic boom because I had no idea if you would disintegrate or go into a different time realm or dimension.
The multiverse.
Said notion of us being in a vessel that passed the speed of sound, just didn't know what would happen.
Tom, is it the same up there at a sonic boom as it is down here in a sonic boom?
No. Yeah.
He said he didn't experience anything.
But in terms of what physically happens in the jet, it's the same thing.
But basically, do you hear it like you?
Your windows don't rattle, Tom.
Nope.
No, he's saying it's like behind you.
Okay, that's what I figured. Have you guys ever been in a sonic boom?
In L.A.
I mean, had one fly over, whatever.
Yeah, like been super close. Like basically,
a few times since I've been here.
Yeah.
I was, Tom, you'll appreciate this. My cousin was in the Navy, and they had a family day, and I was like 12, and like the family got to go on board the ship. This is USS Seattle, and we got to go aboard the ship.
Tiger Cruise.
There you go. I don't know what you said, but he got to go on board the ship. The family got to, they showed us around. We got to write on the bombs and stuff, which is pretty cool, like with chalk.
Sure.
And this is during the first Iraq War. I was like 12.
Did you write the Scuds for you?
I wrote something, some stupid something about Saddam Hussein. really sending a message.
Yeah. Little
and
Brian.
And they did a flyover, and I never got official word what happened. My cousin told me that the pilot was jerking around, but there was a sonic boom. The pilot did the flyover much too fast, created a sonic boom on the plane. We were inside the hangar, and it warped the giant hangar door, like the garage door, for the airplane, for the fighter plane. It warped it. They couldn't close or open it. It was like halfway.
Oh, so he was low speed.
He was
low altitude.
That's from the F-14 Tomcat days. Those things scooted a lot faster than we do. Nowadays, sometimes you won't even get the sonic boom at sea level if it's too hot. But
it was the loudest thing I'd ever experienced. I was inside of an airplane hangar when a guy messing around did a sonic boom.
There's a sonic boom. Nothing cooler and nobody more well-respected than fighter pilots. And Tom, if you're going to come out to Thunder Valley Resort and Casino, and you're going to be there tomorrow night as people hear this, Friday night, April 26th, come up on stage with me. I got a lot to talk to you about.
I am and I will. Can't wait.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your service. And we'll see you on Friday night. And just don't do this super annoying thing with your wife and kids when they refer to putting gas in the car and you keep saying, I'll put fuel in the car. And they go, I'll put gas in the car. And then you keep going, fuel, fuel. Just call it gas, would you? All right.
You're on the ground.
Top Gun. All right, Snowman.
Well, I got to gas up and start heading up there.
That's right.
Range headed to Sacramento.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank God I didn't say petrol.
Mm. And he didn't give you the military time.
It's actually
kind of 500.
It's kind of funny. We had pilots always call it fuel. Mm. I had a guy at Cobbs who was a CHP officer, and Officer Joe, who did that thing where before you hit the stage, you give him the hold that mic right on up to your lip, hold that thing right up to your lips, and they go okay, and then they're up the stage and the mic's down around their waist while they're talking. And then at some point you go, but pull that thing right on up to your lips. And they go, okay. And then
it drifts
21 seconds later. It's down at their hip again. And then you go, put that thing right up to your lips.
You used to have a technique when you were a boxing coach.
Yeah. Hit him in the fucking head.
That's right. Hit him in the head.
But this guy's got a gun in his boot. So, Joe, I don't know how clear he is because the mic may have been a little low. But
he doesn't do a ton of speaking in this one.
We usually play you a ball pull, but in this particular one, I just decided to have some fun with him and my CHP stuff. So speaking of folks in uniform up on stage. This was, what is this, from Friday night?
Yeah, first show Friday.
Play a clip.
All right, should we bring, let's see, should we bring Joe from San Mateo up here, a CHP officer, 9 years running.
The whole time is it, Joe?
Yeah, we good? Hey, Joe. Oh, there you are. How are you? We're sitting right over there. You pull anyone over today?
No.
No? But you do a lot of that, right? You know the move I like? The move I like is when we go to Pebble Beach every year and go to Laguna Seca and do the car race and everything. Oh, it's fun. And when you're driving home, it's just sort of endless highway, and we're driving something good and something fast and something safe. And so, of course, you're on the grapevine, and 75 or 80 doesn't feel like jack shit because you're fucking watching the earth curve in front of you, and it's 72 degrees, and the sun is shining, and there's nobody around you. But we're fucking going 83 miles an hour trying to get home, and all of a sudden we see a chip coming the other direction, and the thing lights up. Oh, he's got his radar, and he's coming this way. And then you look in your rear view, and the guy doesn't move, or he goes past you, and you go, oh, fuck, he's turning. And the guy does a fucking e-brake, and does a full Brody maneuver, and he slides across the big grass dirt medium that's in there. There's like 30 feet of gravel. He goes fucking sliding across it. Then as he comes out, he fishtails, right? He kicks gravel out on the sideway, lights it up, almost clips a guy on a motorcycle, fucking punches it. Now he's going 135. He catches up to you. He lights it up. He pulls you over, and he pulls up the fucking window, and he goes, you know how dangerous it is. I'm gonna step around to the passenger side. It's too dangerous to be out of the car on this side, so I'm gonna step it. You know how dangerous it is for you to go 83 and a half miles an hour in a straight line, totally sober at 4 p.m. with no traffic. You understand how dangerous that is? Let's actually pull off the freeway here because it's super dangerous for me to be outside of my car talking to you about danger by the side. We'll just go ahead and pull you off into this gang-riddled neighborhood over here so we can all stand out there and discuss the theory of danger and how dangerous it is.
Yeah, I'm just saying, at that point, just go, we're fucking raising money for the city we're living in. Yeah. Don't give me the fucking danger lecture. Yeah. We're going in a straight line.
We got to settle a lawsuit, and frankly, we're out a lot of money.
Yeah, we shot a teenage black kid. Mm-hmm. Turned out he just had a ho-ho in his pocket, not a pistol. And so we're out kind of... So I'll just take my boot off and just put whatever cash that's in the ashtray into that. Don't give me the fucking safety lecture. Mm-hmm. We're driving a fully loaded like Lincoln Navigator in a straight line, and you just pulled a full U-turn. Is there anything? By the way, if you did the move, they did, the one where they go past you the other direction and then pull a U-turn and go
jump
around
the median,
they would put you on Devil's Island for the rest of your life. No. They would go, "That's the most you're going to have your license revoked. That is too dangerous.
You'd be tased in the car.
Tased in the car. Yeah. Right. We're going straight." We're going 14 miles an hour faster than the speed limit that was dreamt up in the 60s. Yeah. Okay.
On a bright day with no one around.
Right.
How did he respond to that? A little shrug and a...
You heard Joey killed it.
He laughed.
Bashful.
Later on, I started making fun of him with the cop talk, like the extra cop talk.
You okay right now?
Stuff, and I just wouldn't stop. And he seemed to get a laugh out of it. He also showed me a picture. He lit up a guy at driving a Mustang, 114. A little earlier in the week. And I also had a laugh with him about that point where they go, I write you up for anything over 85. And then they explain that you'll be endlessly raped in prison for the rest of eternity in front of your kids.
That's reckless driving.
Like,
you don't want that.
I write you up, you know. And I did that with him for a while. And then I said, the 114 guy, which is 114.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he wrote him. That's what he wrote him up for. All right. So, we'll see. We'll find a little cop talk for later because it made me laugh. Kamala Harris, we have that AI. We have that news conference she did. I'm curious in everyone's take on this, like what she may have been talking about or not. I know what she was talking about. What's the execution of racist artificial intelligence. We'll play the clip and you guys tell me what you think.
When we look also at these emerging fields and look at issues like AI, artificial intelligence, and machine learning, there is a real need to be very concerned about how being built into it is racial bias. It's a real issue, and it's happening in real time. And the thing about racial bias in technology is that unlike the racial bias that you can pretty easily, all of us can detect when you get stopped in a department store or while you're driving, the bias that is built into technology will not be very easy to detect. And so machine learning is literally that the machine is learning. And it is learning what it is being fed.
Uh-huh.
Which is going to be a function of who's feeding
it
and what it's being fed.
All right. I'm with her on the premise that any machine programmed will reflect the
programmer.
Yeah, reflect the programmer. You know what I mean? Like you're programming with certain things, and that makes sense. But I need some examples of how that otherwise is kind of like a dog whistle. You know what I mean? Like the racial bias in like machines. I'm going to see some examples because otherwise
it
doesn't make a lot of sense.
What's in it for you who are making a machine to carry out a task?
Right.
What, I mean, I don't know if she's talking about RoboCop, but I mean, I'm just thinking about manufacturing or pool cleaning or that kind of stuff. Like, why would...
Right, well, AI isn't that.
Well, what is it? I mean, what is, you mean like...
So those are automated automatons. Those are just performing a task.
They can't play someone in chess.
And but AI at some point, they're going to learn that, aren't... And the thing that the robots are going to... The cops, like the RoboCop is going to learn intelligence. She should give examples. Well, by the way, she never gives examples.
No.
I don't think because she doesn't have examples. Mm-hmm. But
the only thing that I could equate it to, and again, I have no clue what she's talking about, are people that have talked before about racially biased SAT questions, racially biased, test questions like, well, that doesn't happen in my neighborhood, so I wouldn't begin to know how to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. But that's as close as I can get to what she might be talking about because nobody knows.
So if you order drones to bring over malt liquor to your home, for instance,
I'm with you.
Then the cops may start happing into the drones and seeing what patterns drones are going to.
Sure.
I would like.
You're giving us some great ideas.
You know, people
finally,
talk
real
about
example
like. Who, you know, guys talk about like, oh, I'd like to come back as an F-18 pilot, or I'd like to come back as Tom Cruise, or I'd like to come back as a race car driver, or the Queen of Sheba, or whatever it is. I'm working too hard in this life. And so I sort of fantasize about coming back as people that aren't quite as busy as Tom Cruise or F-18 pilots.
Sure.
I would like to come back as generic black person who sits behind other black person who makes proclamations, and I just nod.
And you go,
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And I give nods. I have a couple different ones. I have a, oh, yeah, I didn't know that face, and I have a, oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like a hype
racial
man.
Bias.
It's like a hype man for legislators.
And I'm never really put on the spot.
Oh,
like,
no.
No one ever goes, can you do a tight 10 minutes or any of that? No. I don't need hair and makeup.
No,
I'm not.
Just sit.
I get a lot of cred. I'm up there. I get just as much camera time as the person that's making the proclamations. I'm just 3 feet behind them.
Do you have to be a black person?
It helps. I look concerned.
You're like you're like a featured extra. You know, I have lines,
under
but,
five.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I'm like Gunther. Like Gunther.
Gunther. Gunther's been coming up a lot lately.
I know. I don't have to add anything. There's no prep. There's nobody going like, are you nervous about the whole speech with the thing? I go, nah, I'm just going to be sitting there.
Mm. Can you look mildly concerned?
I can't blow bubbles.
No.
I can't talk on the phone.
No.
I can't lick a giant lollipop. I have to have a look of concern. And like unbiased concern.
You
like
have to be engaged.
I'm engaged.
You have to like follow
along. And I just sit there. And then everyone's same accolades. Hey, saw you on CNN. Yeah, that was me.
Some good work.
Yeah.
You have to get dressed up, but not dressed up.
No,
like
professional.
You don't need to do a fitting or anything.
No,
just put
no.
a jacket on and you just sit there. And then you just look. You just give knowing nods.
Yeah.
And no one ever says, what the fuck are you doing here? Why are you on stage? We all just assume no one ever goes, who's that guy? Let's look in his background. I'll go get one of his yearbooks and crack that open. You just sit in the back.
That's good.
A person of color.
You may become a meme at some point, but it's a 24-hour news cycle. Yeah. It'll be on to somebody else the next day.
Later on, as I get into my golden years, I now transition into funerals.
I was going to say church setting feels appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, where I'm like standing graveside. Yeah.
Looking down, but not looking like down to the ground, yeah, but like, you know, eyes cast.
And again, I'm not a part of the immediate family, but no one's ever going to ask for ID.
Right.
No, you're a well-wisher.
Mm-hmm. Concerned acquaintance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paying respects.
It's like a pretty low-impact life, right?
Yeah.
But consistently working.
And not controversial.
Yeah. Oh, I'm working.
Yeah.
I was celebrated. I'm the opposite of controversial.
Yeah. All right. That's
Godspeed.
God, if you're listening, concerned black onlooker. And look, I'll work both sides of the aisle. I'll do Kamala Harris talking about robots or racists, and then I'll be up with Chief Eddie in Chicago being outraged about this whole Jussie Smollett situation. Like, whatever you need.
Why not?
Available.
Yeah, I'm available.
Would you wear a MAGA hat and be the token African American that's happy
China
to be there?
No, that's heavy lifting. Okay. I get it.
Now you're in the public spotlight.
Not a dumb question, but I don't need that kind of surus.
It needs to be addressed.
You're speaking my language,
right? I thought I'd make you understand. All right, we have the Tesla electric leaf blower story. Oh, we got cop talk. I don't know. I'm not always amused with myself, but for some reason, cop talk always makes me laugh. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. You're going to drive a cop car or any car. You need Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal from rubbing one another. Three times,
fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. They did a test, and it turns out they're three times better. Edge, formulated in ways to exceed the highest and toughest industry standards. Castrol Edge. Let's do a little cop talk just because I'm amused with myself. So this is the same officer,
Joe. Yeah, this is you talking to Joe again.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not one of these guys, but I love when the cops do the extra cop talk. That's my favorite, because the cops don't want you talking when they're talking, and they don't want you talking when they're pulling up to the car, right? Like, you don't want, like, oh, hey, no one's robbing any banks today, officer chicken shit. Like, you don't want any of that stuff. So what you do is you just go like a politician who doesn't want to answer a question, and that's where the extra cop talk comes in. You go, okay, well, we need you for me, okay, right now. Just go ahead for me, okay, right now. Just go ahead and pull out license registration and good proof of insurance for me, okay. Well, I'm going to need you right now. Just go ahead for me, okay, right now. And okay, what I'm going to need you to do for me is go ahead and produce license registration. Let me walk back the car. Okay, right now, you just go ahead and sit. Just go ahead and stay put for me right now, okay, right now. Okay, we're going to go back the car. And walk back to the car. Then you come up. Okay, I tell you what I'm going to do right now. Okay, right now. I'm going to ask you to go ahead right now. Okay, right now. Okay, what I'm going to ask you to do right now. Okay, I wrote you up for over 85. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now is go ahead and forfeit all freedoms. You're moving to Cuba with me right now. Okay, right now. Let's get in the squad car. It's amphibious. We're driving to Cuba. We're going to drop you off there. You're going to have a life of hell. Okay, but I'm going to need you for me. Okay, right now. Just go ahead and talk to your kids and just say bye. Okay, tell them daddy's not coming home, okay, right now? Just go ahead for me right now? Okay, right now. Joe, when you get home, can you shut it off, or do you have to go, like, talk to your wife? What do we have, roast chicken, okay, right now? Just go ahead and pass the peas for me, okay, right now? What am I asking you to do for me? Go ahead, wife. What am I asking you to do for me right now? So go ahead and pass the garbanzo beans, okay, right now? Okay, go do that for me, okay? Thank you. Is that the Italian vinaigrette, okay, right now? Don't go ahead in the bedroom. All right, you do is go ahead and disrobe for me, okay, right now. I'm going to do rudimentary cavity check, okay, right now. Go ahead for me. I'm going to have to just go ahead and pull out my penis, okay, right now. Just step back. Going to need to see some ID. Make sure I'm not banging a stranger, okay, right now. Thank you.
Okay, right. Good stuff.
Extra poor Joe. Didn't say a word. He just sat there the whole time. cops do have a pretty good sense of humor as long as you get them in the right setting. They're
not being a cop.
Yeah.
Not on duty.
Not on the side of the road.
Yeah, he's an everyday listener since day one. So he's for the things you've said about cops, he's sticking
still
with
around.
It. Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, Joe.
They're always, I have cops come at me all the time at those shows, and they go, I don't write those chicken shit tickets. And I go, I like that guy. All right. We got Blah Blah Blog to play. I got a little update on that Tesla leaf blower, but I'll tell you why there's still problems. 2 out of 3, as Meatloaf would say, ain't bad, but there's still a third that's the biggest problem with me in terms of the leaf blowers. Take a quick break. Come back with hot leaf blower talk and Blah Blah Blog. Okay, right now, right after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. Hits the road again this spring.
Canuck, we get it. You're Canadian. You're playing fucking hockey, and your name is Guy Lafleur. We understand. You're fucking Canadian. We get it. You don't have to name your team Canadian.
This Friday night in Sacramento at Thunder Valley Resort and Casino, Adam Carolla is unprepared. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
Couldn't figure out why local car wash had a photo of Adam Schiff on the wall. Then realized it was Dom DeLuise.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah.
Do they look anything alike?
They both have sort of lollipop heads, I think. Adam Schiff is not fat. He just has that lollipop head. And I think Dom earned his lollipop head.
Does Sonny know who Dom DeLuise is?
No, he doesn't know Adam Schiff is or Dom DeLuise, I'm sure. All right, the Tesla leaf blower that, once again, we'll just let Elon handle everything. Big problem for me. I was walking my dog yesterday and did that move where I was like going down the street, middle of the block, guys out there with the leaf blower making a storm. And I was like, I'm going to turn around and go back the other direction. I don't want to walk through it, especially if you're going up a little bit of a grade and you're breathing a little hard and whatever. The leaf blowers are insanely loud, and they're two-stroke motors, and they're basically like just firing up old motorcycles from the dirt bikes from the 70s, and they pollute a ton. And we figured out that they pollute a ton and that they're super loud, which is lose-lose, and then they make this toxic dust storm. Now, the problem with Elon's thing is it's going to make the toxic dust storm unless we can figure out some sort of tip slash baffle or something that's able to kind of keep things at a ground level a little better. Right now, we have a big... So, I've never thought about this, but right now, leaf blowers just have a 3-inch hole, just an open hole at the end, and they blow everything out. If there was such a thing as something that came over the top, like your vacuum cleaner has an attachment on it.
We got to get the Dyson guy in touch with Elon Musk, and then they can come up with the ultimate.
Right, and the problem with sucking it up is you'd have to empty the bag and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, he knows vortices.
I am looking, is it vortices?
The vortexes, yeah.
Vortex eye. I'm looking for it not to launch everything in the air. I'm hoping there's a version that treats it a little more like a push broom.
A broom, yeah.
Like an air-powered push broom. Certain amount of stuff, when you're dealing with 200-mile-an-hour winds is going airborne. But it'd be nice if they could figure out a way to keep it down. Now, what I'm saying is use the leaf blower like a air-powered push broom. Keep 65% of the airborne stuff, because right now we have the noise. We have what's coming out of the tailpipe, which is just pure pollutants. And then we have everything being airborne. And for me, the noise is bad and the pollutants bad, but I hate walking through the dust cloud and or driving your car through it and all that stuff. So Elon says he's going to come up with an electric one. Yes, Max Pata?
Yeah, he tweeted he's developing a quiet electric leaf blower.
So that'll be good. But if we still have to get rid of the plume, and that's going to be the tougher part. And there may be a way to work on it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much about it. It's unclear if he'll be limited or not. And he also says that he'll probably repurpose Model 3 HVAC parts.
Can we do this? Oh, you mean his car Model 3 HVAC
right,
parts.
Yeah. And it'll recharge quickly and have a long-lasting battery.
I'll tell you, we can start by doing, instead of the gun buyback, which is fine, do the leaf blower buyback and give them the electric ones. Number one, blowback.
Yeah.
I like it. And number two, start enforcing some rules, like no Sundays. Just no Sundays. No firing the shit up on Sunday and no firing the shit up before 8 a.m.
Yeah.
On a weekday, and no firing it up before 10 a.m. on a Saturday. How about that?
There's supposed to be rules out here. Isn't there a rule about can't be within so many feet of a residence or a something? So there's some rule that's not followed.
The rule with leaf blowers, as we know it in Los Angeles, is they're illegal.
That's
the
rule.
It's not enforced because brown people use it, and we don't want to come down on brown people, so no one wants to be mean, so we don't have it. Speaking of that, and rules that are enforced, Max, Pat, and I took a nice stroll with Mike. We took a romantic stroll all the way to the Golden Gate Bridge, as we discussed. We walked the entire waterfront, the entire run along the bay and heading toward
beautiful.
It's
along
gorgeous.
The marina, right there.
The marina.
Right?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Heading toward the bridge from the city.
It's amazing.
All the way down. When we got back, I said to Max Pena, "You know what I didn't see? I didn't see one guy selling hot dogs or bootleg anything.
Yeah,
like food. And now here, if that were L.A., they'd be strewn.
It's like a street fair.
They'd be strewn across. They'd be selling candy, their ice cream. There'd be old vans that were converted selling
chicharrones,
ice cream.
And with that much foot traffic, it's weird to not see any vendors.
Yeah.
Right. So guess what? Somebody enforces a law.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in San Francisco went, look, we can have fecal matter and junkies and syringes inland a little bit.
Please.
But there's a lot of tourists walking back and forth, and we can't have folks that aren't supposed to be in this country selling them Hoffy dogs and making it in the back of their van. Like, we just can't have that along this stretch. It's not that they don't have folks who would do it, and there would be people who would do it, and there probably been people who've tried to do it because it's a very well-traveled area, and everyone would stop and order some nuts or some candy or some ice cream or some hot dogs. Somebody's enforcing a law. And all I'm saying is it's possible. You could do the same. You could do the same thing in front of the Staples Center if you wanted. You could just enforce laws that were on the books. You could do the same with the leaf blowers if you wanted to.
You know, the one thing we don't really discuss about the leaf blower, the other problem is, isn't that the ultimate narcissism? All you're doing is powering up a machine to make your problem somebody else's problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not vacuuming. It's blowing them onto somebody else's property.
Yeah, it doesn't end up in a green bin.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Before they start. Like, all right, what do we do? Half in the pool, half in the neighbor's yard? Yeah. We'll just blow them there. Okay. All right. So we got blah, blah, blog. Max Pena.
It's time for blah, blah, blog. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
All right, so as you know, the Mueller report is out and celebrities are talking about it. Here we go. I have not, nor will I, change my opinion of Trump, his evil, or his ties to Russia. He is up to his neck in crime and corruption. There are two things that cannot be hidden forever. The truth and the sun. Is it Cher?
Mm.
Alicia Silverstone?
Mm.
Or Gwyneth Paltrow?
Mm.
Oh, I definitely have a guess.
It's a murderer's row of chicks who don't want to have sex with me. Jeez. Cher found a little common ground with Trump recently on some prison reform, or am I making that up? There was some story a couple of weeks ago.
It was homeless people in L.A.
Oh, homeless people in L.A. Yeah, they found a little. She was starting to slap L.A. around for not taking care of its own and putting so many people on the street. So that's a clue. Gwyneth, what's she in? I don't know. Does Gwyneth talk a lot? I mean, I know she talks a lot. But she weigh in on this stuff a lot?
She has the goop and everything.
She mostly weighs in on jade eggs that go in your vagina.
Did Cher get blowback for sort of agreeing with Trump in the how L.A. and California was being run, get a bunch of shit and have to make a proclamation of hating Trump in order to
her
people turned on her?
Curry some favor. She controversially said that the L.A. with the worst homeless problem in the world and getting worse every second needed someone needed to do a better job on this. And,
yeah, you better watch yourself.
Trump may have said that, too. So that's controversial.
Yeah, he tweeted, I finally agree with Cher. Which is way worse than him attacking anybody on Twitter. It's just agreeing with them.
I know. I like to think it's Alicia Silverstone, but I think this is Cher maybe making... Maybe trying to escape some of the ire of some of the woke folks in Malibu.
I've not thought about this in depth, but was Alicia Silverstone Alicia Silverstone at the perfect time? What I mean by that is, with Clueless and with the Batman movie and with all the stuff she did and made all the money at the right time, and now she's just kind of skating.
Coasting.
Like, she's, attractive.
Aerosmith video.
Yeah, the videos. Yeah.
Now she has kids and she's a Valley girl.
But I'm saying,
she's not living that
this
life.
This is not Alicia Silverstone's time. Yeah. And when it was, she cashed in. You know what I'm saying? Like, did she peak at the right time?
I never know. And you know what's thrown a wild wrench in everything for me? It's all the mommy stuff and the mommy cookbooks and the mommy organic food for kids and stuff. And if you took any celebrity chick who was at the top peak of her powers in the early 90s and you went, Ed, what's she up to? She's off the radar. They'd go, oh, no, she's worth $200 billion.
Right.
She makes pureed peas from organic farms. Yep. And I'd go, oh, so she's killing it? Mm. Like, oh, yeah, she's killing it. So I never know.
You're like, she's at a farmer's market
if
right
someone
now?
Is like quietly killing it in the weird mommy Jessica Alba kind of world.
Mm-hmm. Rich man, poor man, you make baby food. You're either at the farmer's market or at every Whole Foods.
So, I don't know, I'm going Cher.
Yeah, I'm going just by default. I've never seen, I guess I don't follow them. I've never seen Alicia Silverstone or Gwyneth Paltrow tweet. And if they do, it has never, it's never come to my radar as political, so it's got to be Cher.
Yeah, no way it's Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm going Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet, too.
Well, the blog belongs to Cher.
Of course.
And the other two do tweet. They one of the rules is we can't put them on the list unless they do.
Oh, okay. So Cher was trying to make up.
There's rules?
Trump agreeing with her.
Well, that was the original blah, blah, blog, is you had to have a blog.
Mm.
I will admit my feelings for Mueller are conflicted now, and my sexual attraction to him is in peril. But I still believe there is a lot more to come. And we must all march in the streets if we don't see that report.
Mm.
Is it Chelsea Handler, Billy Eichner, or Amy Schumer?
Knew it was a comic.
Billy Eichner is the...
Billy on the Streets.
Oh, that guy.
I love him. And Difficult People, that show on Hulu.
Yeah, everyone loves him.
He's great.
I know. It's weird for me.
It's gay, man.
I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Is he gay?
Yeah.
Oh, but he wouldn't have to if he was making a joke. All right. I am going Chelsea Handler.
Feels very Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, I don't think it's the other two. It has to be Chelsea.
Well, I'll go Chelsea. I think she was on The View a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about being attracted to him, although that could easily be an Amy Schumer joke.
The blog belongs to Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
Great news that there was no collusion with Russia by the POTUS. Now he can focus on finding, disabling, and punishing those who worked for Russia to attack the U.S. election. Now that's a national emergency worth skipping golf for. Is it Sarah Silverman, Whoopi Goldberg, or Susan Sarandon?
Ooh, yep.
Huh,
I gotta guess.
No.
It's a smart tweet.
So they're saying no collusion with him, and now he can go after whoever did it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I like that tweet. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But was the tongue in the cheek, or am I just taking it on face value? Or?
Oh, I think it's very tongue in cheek.
Yeah, the end, but that's worth skipping golf for?
Oh, yeah. That is. But kind of it sounds almost sensical which
that's why I eliminated Whoopi. It's way too coherent.
All right, so we're all going with Sarah. It's too sensical for Sarah and maybe Whoopi. So Susan Sarandon?
It's not cutting enough for Sarah Sanders. Sarah Silverman, yeah. For me, I'm going Susan Sarandon.
I agree that it's not Sarah Silverman. I am going Whoopi.
Oh. I'm going Susan Sarandon.
The blog belongs to Sarah Silverman.
Oh! Interesting. Sorry, Sarah, I didn't give you enough credit.
Tempered.
That's why you have to play the game, people.
This unrelenting barking at the moon is exactly why Trump will be elected again in 2020. Is it Rob Schneider, James Woods, or Ted Nugent?
Ooh.
Hmm. Let's see. There's unrelenting.
God.
So they're all supporters.
Nugent and Schneider are kind of versions of the same dude.
Yeah.
No, just sorry, and they're overly verbose. You know, they love the sound of their own voice.
This feels more Rob Schneider to me. But now wait a minute. The unrelenting barking at the moon is the Democrats barking at the moon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a folksy ass statement.
Yeah, it's pretty folksy.
Oh, God, this is a tough one.
You're right.
My first thought was Rob Schneider, but barking at the moon, there's just something real folksy about that.
I'm with you. I'm going Ted Nugent on this one.
Yeah, I'm Nugent also. It was down to Nugent and Schneider for me, but yeah. I'm going Nugent.
Yeah, I think three Nugents.
The blog belongs to James Woods.
Yeah! Off, people.
Oh, my God.
All right, where are we at in the totals here?
We're all knotted up, I believe.
What a piece.
Wait, no. Brian, you said Alicia Silverstone for the first one, right?
I think it's Adam and I.
Yeah, Adam and June have two. Brian has one.
Gah!
All right, tiebreaker. Here we go. I'll let me pick first.
Thanks. What?
Trump seems really nervous about the Mueller report, but he might just be anxious that he'll have to read something. Okay. Is it Conan O'Brien?
That's a very late night joke.
Or Stephen Colbert?
Oh, there you go.
Adam, how say you?
That's a very late night joke.
Stephen Colbert.
I'll go with Coco.
The blog belongs to Stephen Colbert.
Yes!
Mazel tov.
It was a dominating victory, man. You should have enacted the slaughter rule like 20 minutes ago, man.
It was academic at a certain point.
Yeah, but
sorry, Larry.
Oops, that's the wrong one.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
All right, let's take a quick break. Come back and do the news right after this.